CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, the 2nd of June. It's not warm. That's the least I can say, right? It's not warm.
But it's still pretty mild. Come on.
It's
still pretty mild.
You think it's mild?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, you know, if you have a higher tolerance for cold than me, good. I really, sure. This is already too cold. I don't like heaters. I don't like, you know.
But especially if you compare it to last Tuesday and Wednesday with the cold front, I'm starting to count my blessings with anything. So I'm like, okay, yeah, we're all okay right for now.
Okay, all right, maybe you make a lot of sense. I got to concede the point then. I'm happy to. I'm just not good at this winter thing, and one of the more gross things about winter is that, like, my nose dries the hell out. It actually gets a bit sore because of the cold. Do you know what I mean?
Oi.
Yeah.
But we're all indoors, isn't it? We're all at home.
Yeah, no, that's true. We're lucky. Let's consider ourselves fortunate that we have an inside to be in.
This is going to be like a good winter because we don't have to go anywhere. No one's inviting you out. No one, none of all of that. So you're like, you're home.
Although
this is what we want to do in winter.
I have a slew of meetings today, and I'm actually going into the office, and Sia will be there, and Bulelo will be there, and so we're all going to kind of see each other for the first time.
Are you having face-to-face meetings with outsiders?
No, just with our people, with our insiders.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
Oh, I've never been more excited for a meeting in my life.
Seriously?
Yes. Yeah. Like, I'm going to get dressed. I'm going to put on shoes. I can put on cologne and someone will notice and possibly give me a compliment.
I'm a bit apprehensive, hey? I mean, I've been out of the house. I've had one or two meetings outside of the house, but I'm a little apprehensive as in, like, you're going to see everybody today and I've got back-to-back meetings for about, I don't know, 4 hours maybe.
Oh.
So it's daunting compared to the last couple of weeks where I've spent that time at home, and even if I've had stuff to do, and there hasn't been a single day during lockdown in the week anyway where I haven't had like important stuff to do. So it doesn't feel different from the work point of view. It just feels different from the actually seeing people point of view. Does that make sense?
I get that.
Yeah.
Although I'll be glad to see the back of Zoom meetings.
Oh, yesterday I had two Zoom meetings, and in both of them, there were people who were like, oh, hang on, I've just lost your feed. And then you sit there for like a second or two waiting for them to catch up. It's really frustrating.
can you hear me now?
You've just frozen. And I'm like, well, if you just wait 2 seconds, it'll unfreeze.
And it'll continue.
Need to have a constant, like you need a non-stop update of like exactly what the other person is seeing. Like, I've done interviews, Zoom interviews with people that we're recording. So it's kind of important that people don't freeze. And if you just wait a second or two, it usually catches up, even if you're on a bad internet connection. Does that make sense?
Yes, but
I think my worst one has been people in the background. I think after 2 months of Zoom meetings, people should know that just find the quiet spot. Tell the kids you're going to be in a meeting or you're going to be on the phone. Can they keep quiet? Like, just the basics, you know, the basic etiquettes. And then my other ultimate is not having your video on.
Oh, yeah.
Because meetings are about all the verbal and nonverbal cues, right? So not having your video on, I don't know if you're frozen. I don't know if you can still hear me. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying or if you've fallen asleep.
I haven't had the courage to personally say it, but I get, you know, what some people are going through when they very clearly ask, please, let's not put the video on.
Why?
Your if I haven't visited the barber yet, I don't have my hair done, if I don't, if I've run out of makeup, I think it is very important to some people. And so I've encountered those who've asked me to not have the video on in meetings. I wish I could be that person, but I'm not. But also, I'm okay with how I look.
We had someone yesterday. We had someone yesterday in a recording, and she was like, no, no, she doesn't want to be on video at all.
Yeah, so, this was like a line item for her. It was just very important. And I actually said, I'll respect that.
Sure. Well, what are you going to do? Say, no, I'm going to force you. You have to be on video.
we don't have to, maybe we don't have to record the video, but I would like to see your eyes. I would like to see the person on the other side. I mean, I was in a meeting yesterday with quite a lot of people. Uh-huh. I think there were like 8 of us or something like that, and nobody had their videos on.
Yeah.
And I was presenting. So for about 7 straight minutes, I'm talking through this, and there's just like dead silence. It's like radio silence on the other side. I had to ask, can I get an amen? Like, are y'all still with me? It was quite hectic, actually.
Yeah, that can be very off-putting if you're presenting, because you have no way of gauging whether the audience is even interested, right?
If they're listening, also when you can hear other people in the background. So when you can hear the kids, you're not sure if, is this person like listening to me or are they attending to their kids?
And the chances are they're not listening, right?
Well, in the second half of the meeting, it became very evident that one of us was definitely not listening because she asked a slew of questions which had been answered in the first half of the meeting.
Oh. That's just a little bit frustrating. Sure.
So I didn't know if it was I wasn't listening or if it was I didn't get that. I didn't understand it. It was weird. It was very weird.
Do you get the feeling, though, Pums, that level 3 has made any difference at all?
It's made a difference to the quality of air I see from the balcony. I see a lot more pollution in the air.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
How do you explain that? I mean, can you actually see the pollution?
Yeah. So from my balcony, I have a really cool view of the city.
Okay.
And the city skyline. And I can see, and for the time when we were in the hard lockdown, mm-hmm. and to an extent in level four, for about a week or so, you could see the crispness of the air. So all those videos of all the animals coming out to play when all the people were gone.
Oh, yeah.
The animals.
I could see that in the air. I could see that in the air. And yesterday, when I looked out in the afternoon, there was like a layer of soot. The same, so it was just like Joburg as it always has been. You
right,
know, I could
especially
see
in
that
winter.
It would definitely, yeah.
With the
more
fires
cars out
and
in
everything.
The road,
yeah.
Fires, all of that. I could definitely see that.
But Pums,
people are back.
I don't know if that's industry. I think that might just be people making fires. You know, for some people, it's
anyway. Also driving around. It's also more people. Have you not seen when you went out?
Yeah.
A hell of a lot more people on the road.
Well, okay, so yesterday I did go to the shop, and the only reason I bring this up is because what makes it interesting is that it's right near a liquor store. So I didn't go to the liquor store.
What debauchery did you see?
So I went to buy like fresh milk and some veggies, and you know, it's like 250 rands worth of stuff. So it wasn't like I was going out in a major shop or anything. And I bought my stuff, and then I suddenly, on the way out, I had a look, because the ATM where I had to draw some money, I saw this queue of people, and I was like, oh, obviously liquor, because we'd been talking about it yesterday morning. But I promise you, this queue was 20 people long.
Yikes!
And all with social distancing, so it wound around the buildings a little bit. And I know that that's nothing compared to some of the queues. I mean, did you see some of those videos on social media yesterday?
It was all fun and games up until I saw a marching band.
What?
Yes. Outside of a liquor store.
No.
I saw the marching band too.
It was a marching band fronted by a conductor / guy who was way too enthusiastic about life.
With his cooler box.
Yes. He had a cooler box and he would march forward and then place the cooler box down and then dance around it. And then he'd sanitize his hands, then go back to the cooler box and march around it again.
Oh my God.
And I'm talking like a full-fledged marching band behind him, a big like, trumpet and a trombone. Oh my goodness.
What we call in the hood, the trompeta.
Yeah.
Guys were full of something.
But what is, and then, what is this thing? I mean, you know, we were talking yesterday about our unhealthy relationship with alcohol in this country, but literally, even the staff inside the liquor stores were singing and dancing, and like South Africa really cares about alcohol more than it cares about anything, with the exception possibly of Jesus.
Now it is so clear to me that that is so true.
It's true, right?
So the striking thing for me is the fever of both the religious nuts and the alcohol nuts. Like, this is within 2 days of each other, right? Because on Sunday was the first time that, like, churches. People were allowed to go to church as well. Yeah. And then it's insane. But I was saying to Sia earlier, I'm wondering how much of that was being caught up in the spirit. How much of it was a lot like the toilet paper scenario, right? Of people just kind of going, oh, the liquor stores are opening. I better go and get my stash before everything runs out. So I'm going to be there at 7:30 in the morning.
Right.
And how much of it is people who genuinely wanted to be there at 7:30 in the morning so that they could get back home and have a glass.
Oh, but we discussed this yesterday too, is that first of all, for people like me, and there are probably a few, I don't know how many, I don't know what proportion of the population I represent, but for me, drinking is always associated with being social, you know, with other people.
Yeah.
Second of all, during the week, I never drink. And if I do drink during the week, it's a very rare thing. It'll be like someone's birthday, or it'll be a friend of mine from far away that's come to visit. And, you know, there's just no way around it. Like, because if I can't try to put those things on weekends, it's very rare that I would be drinking during the week. And then the third possibility, which is completely out of the picture for me, is drinking during the weekday, like daytime. And I can't tell you.
Drinking?
I cannot tell you the last time that happened. Certainly not. Imagine going to Tops or to Macro or to wherever yesterday. Norman Goodfellas. You go home if you finished your liquor run at like 10, let's say. Let's say you got there really early. You got out of there at 10. And then you got home with your bottle of like whatever. And you
popping the champagne,
and your hands are shaking, and you're like, you undo that lid, and you grab the glass, and you're like, your glass is, you know, and you put your glass down, and you put some ice in, or maybe you just pour it straight from the bottle, and then you bring that to your lips, and you're shaking, and the first taste of that alcohol, which you may not have had in a couple of weeks,
and then the beat drops.
What then? What does your day look like?
I guess religion and alcohol serve the same thing. Both are the opium of the masses.
Well, it sounds superior, but then that's nothing unusual from you, Mbulelo.
I have no problem with that.
No, but you make a very valid point. And the two are often interchangeable for people who have an addiction. People who have an addiction to alcohol often find redemption in religion. And religion replaces alcohol for some people. And
absolutely.
You often find that people who are looking for a way out of some bad behavior find it through embracing religion. And they are the most wholehearted embracers of religion. And that's fine. I'm not judging. Because I think religion is a far more healthy habit than drinking nonstop. Or gambling nonstop. Or a sex addiction. Or a drug addiction. But then those people become these fervent, super ultra orthodox, judgy. You know, there's nothing like a convert, hey?
I was going to say it's debatable, actually, which one's worse.
Because they have to shout it from the rooftops.
A convert and someone who has, who feels like they've found the answer, like it's helped them in their life, then they cannot wait to make other people comply in the same way. They're like, because it comes from a good place. They're trying to help others, like, you know, their religion helped them. And if you meet someone who had a drug addiction and then they turned to Jesus, or you meet someone who was in rehab, and in rehab some spiritual or religious person got hold of them and helped them through it, those people are unstoppable when you bump into them in any situation and you have a drink in your hand and they do not, and they are just full flight, breathing smoke and fire and sulfur and brimstone, and they're telling you how bad you are and how they can help you. And I mean, sometimes those people don't even know, for example, that you might already be religious. They don't. To them, it's opportunity to save.
You're definitely, if you're not on the same plane as them, you need their intercession.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
And it's their duty.
And it can be scary because they are fervent. They are just boiling from the inside to share with you the good news of how they got out of their trouble and how they're going to help you.
Although drinkers are the same. So if you've ever been at a party and you're not drinking, the way people are like, don't you drink? Why don't you drink? Have you never drank in your life? Like, it's the same. I'm telling you, religious nuts and alcoholic nuts, it's all the same.
I have a friend who doesn't drink, but she stands by saying, I practically drink because at any gathering or party that I go to, I'll end up having to get into a conversation as to why I choose not to drink. Yeah. And then I'll have this pressure of people giving me a drink going, just at least
just
have a
try
taste.
This.
You see, again, it's like so South African that we can't accept someone not drinking.
What's even more interesting,
we don't know what to
is
do
if
with
you
them.
Did drink and then you stop drinking. I don't know if any of you have been through that journey. That's even more interesting than what, because people become more feverish in their kind of pushback to you. That's been a very interesting journey.
I don't know if South Africans have ever learned to embrace the saying, to each his own.
Because we like when it comes to good times, no,
we like everyone to comply with our idea of fun or our idea of good or our idea of worthy or right, you know. And if they don't, then we're like confused and we're not sure how to handle those people. Oh man,
yeah, we honestly can't compute that.
But none of this is judgy. I want to make that clear. Like,
I want people to. I hope somebody sends us a message telling us about their experience. Especially somebody who was in a queue yesterday, and the queues were quite astounding. I saw a picture on social media of somebody sneakily took a picture of a lady balancing her laptop on the trolley while she's in the queue. So she's like on her laptop working, but she's
Well,
Mbulelo has a roommate who actually who took the day off for me just to go and buy alcohol.
Took the day off. And how much did he actually spend, Mbulelo? Do you know?
I don't, but he normally goes through 3 bottles of wine a day anyway. But there's more to that story.
Yes, tell us.
Is he still alive?
New news has come out that he kind of had a bit of a situation with another roommate where I think he was hitting on her and I think it got a little bit out of hand.
Is this because he was drunk?
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. It's all happening. It's wild times.
Well, here's a message.
Tell us.
Jean says, I'm so hungover. Why? Because I drank a fifth of the amount that I'm used to, and my brain feels like jelly.
I said it. I knew it. There'll be a lot of hungover people from just the tiny amounts of alcohol as well, because we aren't used to it
anymore.
The whiff
of a rag.
It just shows you how, those people who are used to more, they suddenly, I'm so drunk. Because they haven't had any for weeks, so their body's not used to it. Good morning, team. This is from Cabello. He says, today I'm going to the office for the first time since lockdown. We'll actually be working from home 3.5 days of the week. going forward.
What's 3.5?
So maybe half a day plus the other three. And then, so I listen, we're doing the show from our different homes this morning, and that's probably going to carry on for some time because this 6 a.m. in winter thing is just not fun at any stage of the game. So unless there's a special occasion, that's not going to change anytime soon. Until winter's over, you can forget about us doing the show from the studio. And frankly, do we even need the studio, you know?
This was nice.
Yeah.
This was nice.
Well, Pums, I mean, if I say to you suddenly, oh, you got to come into the studio, you're going to be a little bit resentful. I know that.
I won't be resentful, but I'll be a little sad.
So here's a good point being made by a good Christian, Marcel. He says, Matthew 7:1, judge that ye be not judged. That's exactly the point, right? That's what I was saying.
Oh, my God.
We're not judging the drinkers. We're just saying.
It's an observation.
Yes. I have to be honest, though. I had to judge just a little tiny bit when I heard struggle songs being used in alcohol cues. I thought, come on now.
Which one?
I saw a video in Macro. People singing struggle songs. I thought, this is not why Sharpeville Massacre, you know, walked so that we could run and sing struggle songs.
I saw people singing a wedding song.
I mean, come on. Come on, guys. South Africa, let us please not be these people.
Struggle songs. Well, hey, for some people, this is the biggest struggle of their lives so far. And let's not downplay COVID-19. It has been.
But then,
this has been the most challenging thing. And I'm not talking about just sitting at home. This has been, in economic terms, the most challenging thing for most people in South Africa since 1994. Let's be fair.
And it's an uncomfortable point to bring up, but I think it's worth a little discussion. Hmm. I think we all have to acknowledge that people have a bigger alcohol problem than they think they do.
Yeah.
Because I didn't hear any sort of chitter chatter yesterday around how much money people don't have when it came to how much money people were spending on alcohol. There was no one saying, oh, economic times are so tough. I've been laid off. Work is tough. I have salary cuts. When it came to standing in line and buying alcohol, there were means and ways. And if you make means and ways that much just for booze, I think you have to acknowledge on some level that actually alcohol is a bit of a vice for you.
Yeah. James says he stood in the queue for 20 minutes, had a first beer at 11 o'clock yesterday, hit the Johnny Walker at 2, and cannot remember going to sleep. At least I woke up in time for the show. Well done, James. Let's give him a round of applause.
Okay.
Woody says, good morning. On Pumi's point, I started drinking at age 24. I drink very seldom. I had a drink last in November. When I go out with friends, I limit myself to 2 to 3 drinks. Then I would pretend to be tipsy just to get my friends off of my back because they would always want to give me more. It was my first day back at work yesterday, and it was a busy day. I only got to Macro and Centurion at 4 p.m. I got in at 4:30, got my booze, which consisted of 12 bottles of red wine. Last night, my hubby and I enjoyed dinner and a bottle of wine. I feel great, and I'm ready to go to work and wreak havoc. So there we go.
Oh, wow.
Anushka getting on with it. She's found a way.
Why is work and wreak havoc equivalent for Anushka? Why is it all together?
She's unstoppable when she's had a drink.
Does she just wreak havoc at work? I don't understand.
Yeah, good for her. Mpichleng says, I don't drink, but yesterday your FOMO had me asking my ancestors to free me for one day. Daniel says, my wife stood in a queue for 20 minutes. We don't trust the government not to close liquor stores again. They're too unpredictable. I think that's what a lot of people did. Mm. And then,
see, I'm telling you, it was a toilet paper situation. It was the toilet paper syndrome.
Rian says, I wanted to buy a lekker brandy, saw the line, decided I'm better than the line, went to Pick and Pay and got one fantastic bottle of wine. No lines, no issues. All right. So, I'm not, I won't lie to you. I'm no good at cues, hey?
Yeah. Thank you.
Maybe it's some deep-seated sense of superiority like Bulelo suffers from. but I'm not waiting in a queue. I can't, and not for liquor. I mean, really. You know, it breaks my heart when I see those people who were lining up during level four for those food parcels. Because, oh, you have to be desperate, hey, to queue in the cold for like 4 kilometers, which I think was the distance of the one line.
Mm.
And, you know, we complain about like a 20-minute wait at a liquor store. Which I still won't do. I mean, I won't even, I won't, 5 minutes. I drove past the place on, was it Saturday? There was, yeah, because Saturday was the end of the month shopping for some people. And I was meant to do the shopping that I eventually did yesterday. But I saw those queues and I was like, uh-uh. And that was just for ordinary food shopping, you know. So there's some of us who are just not built for this. And then quickly, one last message before we get to headlines. This is from Marcel. Marcel says, message for Anushka. Lockdown is over. No more sex on the balcony, you freak. Yes. That's a good point. Keep her under control.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Well, that is okay.
Because she did admit that earlier. All right, yes. Let's get into a couple of the headlines from around the world and locally. Shamila Batoy, senior appointments at the NPA will support efforts to restore public confidence and trust. Pumi, are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah.
You didn't even give it a second to possibly buy it.
And I'm with Pumi. What's she done? She's been there more than a year.
It's been more than a year. I remember Canthan and Gareth and I having this conversation about Shamila, and Canthan and Gareth were of the firm opinion that she must be given time to get into the role. And I was just like,
she's been given a lot of time and still nothing's happened.
Here she is.
Anyway, she has welcomed the appointments of deputy national directors of public prosecution, saying they would bring vital stability and support to her as she leads. Advocates Oma Rabaji Rasitaba and Rodney de Kock have been appointed as the new DNDPPs with effect from 1st of June.
The longer the title, the less the power.
That's a good point. So let's see what happens there. But Shamila Batoy and her department at the National, you know,
you can't even say the whole title. You have to use an
National
acronym.
Directorate of Public Prosecution. They've prosecuted absolutely
nobody.
That is
so true. That is so true.
If you're the deputy vice president, you know that you've got
deputy vice president of the junior committee focused on the environmental strengthening of industries in the southern region of the democratic country.
Didn't Leanne told us there was a
the
junior,
southern part of the
Leanne told us yesterday there's a junior French minister of digital media. I mean, can you be more junior than that in the French government?
Weird.
He was the one who said to,
and that sounds like a very
he was the one who said to Twitter,
I don't know this
come
person
and work there if they want to. Yeah. All right, listen, this is a crazy story. The Human Rights Commission is taking legal action against the Western Cape government. The commission wants the province's decision to reopen schools reversed. Western Cape officials said the schools are ready to open on Monday. That was yesterday. The province opening schools despite the Basic Education Department postponing its planned reopening to next week. So the reason that the Education Department postponed is because they're not ready, but the Western Cape is ready. So why shouldn't they go back to school? Anyway, the Human Rights Commission, who honestly do themselves such a disservice by getting involved in issues that are not their issues, in this case are worried. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but government are backtracking. Cyril said yesterday that, you know, we're over the worst of it and COVID is not so bad. We should start going back. He said, in fact, he was advised by scientists. Pums, what the hell's going on in the background there?
Guys, I told you before, I just want the man to succeed, right?
Right.
I really do just want the man to succeed. Make decisions, be consistent with them. But, you know, he's not even a good manager of his cabinet.
No,
he might be a leader of the country.
So he said that scientists
even
told
as a manager,
him,
he's just like...
He said they told him that they can go back to level one now because it's we've haven't flattened the curve. That's evident. So in other words, the lockdown was completely pointless. But government have to stick to their guns because now they've thrown the economy into free fall. They've ruined people's lives. And now they have to justify it by saying, well, at very least we got the curve flattened and now we're ready to deal with COVID. And then they're told by scientists and experts who they've told us all along they trust that, no, we can go back.
Guys, people must just live. I think.
Oh, I don't know what's happened there. All right. So anyway, as I was saying.
Bulelo doesn't like what I'm saying. He's muting me.
No, was that Kanejo in the background?
It's Kanejo. Yeah. We heard Kanejo in the background. Sorry, we didn't know what the hell was going on.
He just singing. Came downstairs and I'm just like, guy, you see, this is the problem. He knows I'm like on a call.
So anyway, the Human Rights Commission want the Western Cape to shut schools again, which is so stupid. But we'll see what happens. And then News 24 reporting that a man was arrested after being caught with 1.2 million rand stuffed in two black bags in a house in Cape Town. Jesus. He's a 50-year-old guy. He was arrested after he was found with an unaccounted for 1.2 million rand in cash in two black bags in the Strand in the city of Cape Town on Monday. The arrest follows a tip-off by Cape Metro police about drug dealing at a premises in the Strand. Oh, that's probably his take home after dealing during the lockdown, right?
Do you think he was selling Gordons and cigarettes and Peter Stuyvesant?
Maybe. maybe it wasn't drugs, maybe it was cigarettes.
I see people on social media paying as much as $600 for a bottle of Gordon's gin. London Dry Gin.
Yeah.
And but I was then, like, Gordon's, not even Bombay.
But then I loved seeing the people who were posting screenshots of their desperate dealers when the fact that we will be able to buy alcohol from yesterday was announced. These dealers were now trying to get their stock moving as quickly as possible. Like, okay, wait, we'll bring it down to 500 rands. 500 rands, are you interested in that? Okay, no, 450 at least. Can you buy just please. It's like, okay.
Right, after ripping us off for a couple of weeks, now suddenly they're all willing to meet us halfway.
How the mighty fall. But Mr. Man with the 1.2 million rands, if you don't go to prison, please be my friend.
Yeah, can everybody stop making masks because that period is over too? And there is no more money to be made out of making masks, so stop
with
it.
With exorbitant prices.
Oh, my God. Such a stupid thing to do.
I'm sorry. I do not want to wear your company logo on my mask. Like, just calm down.
Or a little flag or whatever. Stupid.
I do want to have a mask with my face on. Is that too much?
You mean your own mouth?
Yes,
I saw a mask with Kerry Washington's face.
Oh,
with Kerry Washington's lips,
because she does have a very distinct, let's call it a pout.
Yeah, a definite pout. And then when they're quivering, have you seen her on like Little Fires Everywhere when she's having a moment and her lip is quivering? I thought that was quite cute.
It's an overbite situation, slightly.
What else is in the news? Let me see here quickly. So, by the way, that when they found that money, that 1.2 million rand, they actually show a picture of the cash on the table, and it's in little banky bags.
Oh.
But, so it's all spread into piles of like 200s, 100s, and so on, but it looks a little bit messy.
Is it notes and coins?
No, it's all notes. I don't see any coins. It's all notes.
What is suspicious? What would you have done?
No, you got to not carrying a million rand around. You go to the many, like, what is it, where you get your clothes washed in Camps Bay, and they all, there's like 10 laundromats. Yeah. You take to the laundromats. We all know how you do it. That's how
this
you
is
do
not
it. You
don't
carry
cash.
We don't know
this
how
is real
you
life.
Do it.
It's not Ozak.
Yeah. I'm not. How do you do it, Bulelo?
There are a lot of laundromats in this country. Trust me, that are empty 24/7, and flower shops, and a few in Camps Bay. Everybody knows, but we can't really say it.
Are you saying laundromats are running a syndicate?
No, I didn't say that. I said there's a lot of laundromats there.
All right. Well, I'm not sure how that works because I've never tried.
This is not OZAC. That's what I haven't seen, to say to you.
I don't know what OZAC is. But, yeah.
All right. Well,
it's about laundromats.
In Asia, their factory pain deepened in May as the slump in global trade caused by the coronavirus pandemic worsened, with export powerhouses Japan and South Korea suffering the sharpest declines in business activity in more than a decade. A series of manufacturing surveys released on Monday suggest any rebound in businesses will be some time off, even though China's factory activity unexpectedly returned to growth in May. Wow, it's amazing how this all worked out for China and no one else. Not suspicious at all.
Who must pay, Gareth?
China must pay.
Okay.
So that's the latest from ENCA about Asia's factory pain. And then the BBC reporting this morning about the George Floyd death, that Trump has threatened to send in troops to end the unrest. He has threatened to send in the military to quell growing civil unrest in the U.S. over the death of George Floyd in police custody.
From his bunker.
Is Trump in a bunker?
I saw reports, CNN reports, that over the weekend, spent the weekend in the bunker at the White House because of the growing unrest outside the White House.
I mean, there's the one guy who doesn't have to worry about personal protection, and he's in the bunker. That's really, that makes the rest of America feel safe, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not surprised when the Secret Service are involved, though.
Well, protests over George Floyd and his death are entering their seventh day. And police cleared protesters from nearby the White House with tear gas and rubber bullets. The president then crossed the park and posed next to a damaged church, provoking widespread criticism from those who accused him of aggressively targeting the peaceful demonstrators in aid of a photo opportunity. Meanwhile, dozens of major cities have imposed overnight curfews. New York is under lockdown until 5 a.m. on Tuesday, and Washington, D.C. has extended its curfew for another two nights.
Wow. Chicago is also under lockdown, is also got a curfew. So this is Secret Service rushed President Trump into White House bunker as protesters, as hundreds protested outside the White House. This is in Time, on time.com.
Right. Sure.
The Secret Service does operate as its own entity, that, you know, whatever happens, they have a very specific role to do. So I'm not surprised by that, but it's actually a scene that was so wonderfully described in President Bush's book, Decision Points. This was the book that he wrote and released after his presidency. I still maintain it was a gloriously talented ghostwriter, but he wrote about his 9/11 experience and how his Secret Service and his team wanted him to go into the bunker straight after 9/11 because, you know, they weren't even sure where the possible next attack could happen. But he said, he didn't want to give the enemy the satisfaction of going into a bunker and having to deliver a message from there. So he said he will sit in the Oval Office and he will deliver his message for the world to still be the commander in chief. And that's still something commendable and really awesome. It was a good book, surprisingly.
I saw such a funny headline from The Onion. You know, they're always on top of things. Protesters criticized for looting businesses without forming a private equity firm first.
That's so good.
So I thought that was pretty funny. Made me laugh yesterday. That's right. And there's not a lot about this situation that makes me laugh, to be perfectly honest. So we spoke about it a bit yesterday. We don't need to go back into it today. No improvement in the way America feels about itself and about what they're dealing with. And I think this is going to be here for some time. COVID has moved to second place in terms of what's important right now. And in some countries, like in Sky News were reporting yesterday, they spoke to an Italian doctor who said COVID is finished. There's no more COVID in Italy. How do you like that? Now, it's only one doctor and it's only one article, But this doctor is quite esteemed. He's not an idiot. And he said, listen, this COVID thing's finished. Everyone should just get on with their lives. I hate to say I told you so, but that's what I've been saying the whole time.
Gareth, here's your megaphone.
Mm-hmm. Let me say that a little louder. I told you so. All right. Pumi's got an interesting question to pose to all of us. And if you have any answers, you can always get hold of us on 079-748-2090. Because we can't travel internationally. And even if we could travel internationally, it's going to be very expensive. And most of us are not looking at having any money anytime this year. You'll have to look at local places, right, Pums?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've got to make different plans for December than we might have made. I certainly don't like to go internationally in December. I did a lot of traveling last year, but it wasn't on my agenda to go anywhere important in December in this year. So I was planning to be at home anyway. But what kinds of things do you have on your to-do list or on your wish list for December?
Like people, now is the time, right? It's the 2nd of June. This is when most right. of us are kind of thinking, what are we going to do with the kids in December?
Right.
Good point.
And I'm wondering where the places are that we should be going to, the different spaces. I mean, if we're not, we're obviously going to have to think about social distancing. It's going to be with us for a while. So we've got to go to places that are not as crowded. Definitely. I wonder what they're going to do with the Durban beachfront.
Ooh, COVID. See, right. But honest, can I tell you something? By then, no one will care anymore. That's my other prediction. By December, no one. COVID will be a distant memory. And the government will still be saying, well, social distance, and because they've got to cover themselves for mm-hmm. the disastrous decisions they've made. But by then, the average South African will not give a shit about COVID. Watch.
Like where to go, you know?
Well, I'll tell you.
Is this the year to go to the bush? Is this the year to go to the big hole in Kimberley?
We had Reg Lascaris on before we had that webinar with him the other day, which if you missed it and you're in the world of marketing or advertising, branding. And
or business.
Go ahead and listen to that webinar. It's really good. It's on the Cliff Central front page. But he said in an interview we did before that webinar with him, he said that this is the perfect time to go to places which usually are reserved for international tourists because they're too expensive for us, and they'll be bringing their prices down because they'll need to attract local customers. So if you've ever wanted to go to one of those really cool
in that game reserve,
yes, those game lodges, if you've wanted to go to any of these really luxury resorts around South Africa, and we do have them, I mean, people come from all over the world to come and see what we've
got. We have plenty of them.
This is the year to try and get a booking in one of those places. And the sooner you do it, the better, because you can get good rates and you can negotiate. You can say to them, I want to do it for 4 days at the price of 3. And they'll say, I'd rather have the business than not. And they might say yes.
Good point.
And we're one of the last few countries in the world with great like open spaces. You know, you go to holiday in Europe, for those who are fortunate, I mean, it's not really a holiday. You're stuck in you have to go to a hotel, and it's like, yeah, we can be outdoors. You can take your kids and all South Africans who can afford a holiday could do that.
You know, all South Africans who can afford a holiday, and that number is decreasing by the day, but there are places also where you don't have to spend a lot of money, and we've got such a range of options. You've got everything from deserts to forests to beaches to mountains to bush.
Sand Parks has some really great places that, because they're government owned, they're also not as expensive as kind of five-star resorts, but they have really good facilities. So if you know, I've been thinking a lot about the Kalahari park, because that would be amazing.
Damn right.
Stargazing in the middle. Look, there's
and it won't be cold in December, so you won't freeze. Mind you, it's always cold at night.
It's always like cold at night.
So
I really want people to send us suggestions of places to look at, places they've been, places that are.
Especially those secret places that we don't know about. Like there's some little lodge somewhere in a hidden part of KwaZulu-Natal that the rest of us don't know about. Share that information. Come on. Like, let the rest of us know.
Sharing is caring.
Be a beach.
Here we go. Listen to this. This is an interesting suggestion, and it's not exactly nearby, but Niska says, Mauritius. I have many clients desperate to book as they know that the borders are open. International travel will happen. Mauritius is COVID-free, and the hotels are opening with great specials.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Living in Dubai and our schools will close for the summer break. Kids will be stuck at home until September, FU 2020. That's from Adam, who's in Dubai.
Oof.
Gareth, you can come and have a holiday here in PE or East London.
Gareth will never.
Insane. Although there are places in the Eastern Cape that are really nice.
Yeah, you want to get closer to the Wild Coast, though.
Yeah, not PE.
Yeah.
After weeks of spending most of your time at home, you'd probably rather stay more at home before going to PE.
I think that's my, you know what, Pumi? That's my December plan. I'm going to stay at home again.
Stay home, stay safe.
I haven't had enough. Go home.
Staycation.
See ya.
Stock up on booze and toilet paper.
Yeah, no. There's lots of suggestions here. The Bavians Kloof is awesome, apparently.
Beautiful.
It's according Absolutely. To Robin. She says that's a really good place to go. St. Francis is good. Okay.
I ain't never heard of that place. I must
go look it up. Bit of a holiday trap.
Yeah. St. Francis is this beautiful place in the Eastern Cape. It's just after Jeffreys Bay and before you get to Plett, essentially. I mean, it's quite a long way from Plett, but it's got one road in and one road out. And it's this little community, and normally during most of the year, it's just deadly empty and quiet as a mouse. And then in December, suddenly, it's the most happening place in South Africa.
Yeah, it's a mess. You wouldn't want to go there in December, especially with kids.
No. But there we go. That's an option. So we're getting lots of good suggestions on that one. I just want to ask Sia about something that I discovered about him the other day. Sia apparently, and this is horrible, but he will Google the price of any gift he receives. Now, what do we think of that?
That is so Sia.
Yes. Isn't that the most horrible thing you've heard?
Is it horrible, though?
Of course it is.
No. Give money. You know my take on this. I don't think people should be giving gifts anyway, so I'm okay with it.
Let me set the scene, because I was really surprised to find out that people think
this is
bad and tacky. Mm-hmm. But most recently, it worked out in my favor. Someone gifted me
someone gave you.
Sure.
Yeah, we have a word.
Someone.
For that. Thank you, Pumi.
Someone gave me a gift from Carol Boyce. So already, you know, it's a very pricey place.
Rest in peace.
And of all things, it's a vase. Look, I appreciate the gift, but I mean, what am I going to do with a pricey vase? And I was on the phone with my sister as I was explaining it. I was like, she could tell that I'm a little distant. She goes, what are you doing? You're distracted. And I was like, well, I'm on the Carol Boyce website. I have to check the price of this gift. She goes, why? I go, well, I need to see what it is so that I know how much the gift is. And as it turns out, it was upwards of 3,000 rand.
Sure.
And so I decided, this is when I knew this was a good friend who gave me this. But I decided, no, I'm not going to keep it. I'll rather exchange it and I'll get I'll get other bits and bobs for that price, as opposed to one pricey vase that's way too expensive. And imagine the heartbreak if someone were to be distracted at my place and topple it over and it breaks all over the floor. You know, no. So I'd rather.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I went over and I have exchanged it for a few other things.
Posters.
That you actually want, because you're an adult and you know what you want.
Yes, you're allowed to do that. But
the bottom line is, I don't think finding out the price of something is bad. I do it all the time.
I hope the friend comes over with a bunch of flowers and says, you should put these in that vase I gave you.
Yeah.
And I'll say, rather, here's some cutlery and crockery that I've used and said, here's another reason why I've always done it.
Can I say something at this point that may get me into some trouble?
Say it.
I hate Carol Boy's stuff. It's revolting.
R.I.P.
It's very shishy poo-poo.
I have never seen anything in the Carol Boy's store that I wanted. Not once. If you gave me the entire store, I would do exactly what Sia's done and go and swap it for other stuff or for cash, like Mbulelo said.
Ooh, Very shishy people.
I have never seen anything in that shop that I thought was nice. And I know that's going to upset some people because they think it's very impressive and it's lovely and it's so creative and it's so beautiful. Don't like a goddamn thing in that shop. Sorry.
It's because you're not a housewife in Franschhoek.
Look, I'm not selling them here and pushing them underneath, throwing them underneath a bus. But I mean, there was a pillowcase, not a pillow itself, a pillowcase for 895 rand.
They make pillowcases at Carol Boys?
Yes, with the design and the whatnot.
I thought it was just that stupid cutlery with those curly things in it.
But here's the reason why I've always done it. It helps me peg where we're at, and it's not a tit for tat thing, but sometimes I think for someone who I'm not necessarily as close with and they get me something, I'm really grateful for the gift. But you know, if I Google the price and I find out it's 300 rands, for example, then I know for your birthday, that's the benchmark of something to get. Does it sound horrible? Oh, damn it.
That is wild.
No, if I'm able to give more than that, and if I want to give more than that, sure. But I know I will not, in my mind, disrespect you by getting you something for 100 rand when you went as far as giving me something for 300 rand.
It's so ridiculous.
Is it still bad? Right now, I know today has been the day where we were told not to judge.
Yeah.
But here, I am judging you.
Well, no, come on. Have you guys never done this? You've never Googled the price of something someone gave you?
No.
Can I tell you why it's ridiculous?
Why?
Because if it's a gift, it's about the other person. So why are you making it a tit for tat? Which is why no one should get upset if somebody doesn't like their gift. It's not about you. It's about me if it's a gift. If I don't like it, I don't like it.
Okay,
so what you're saying is even more ridiculous. You're ridiculous now.
One more full disclosure.
Oh my God, there can't be more.
If I happen to Google the price of something and I find out it's really expensive, best believe in some cases I've regifted for that sole purpose. So that when I regift it and I give it to Sis Pumi, then Sis Pumi says, wow, Sia thought of me and decided to give me something for, 2,000 rands. Yes, I will not keep something that pricey.
Sia, stop it immediately.
I don't think it's bad.
Stop this behavior immediately.
Wow.
Stop it.
This is not my audience today, then. I'm surprised.
Gifts, Mbulelo is so right. A gift is about the person giving it to you.
Yeah.
I love giving gifts. And I buy different things for different people based on not just how I feel, but what I think that person would like, right? So when a person gives you something, is they have thought about you and they have thought, Sia would love this. And then they give Sia that thing, right? But they also want you to, like, have it and use it and enjoy it.
Why don't you just give money? I don't understand this thing of trying to understand a small part of someone else.
That
I
think
money. Money's so tacky.
Money's so crass.
It is crass. And everybody has different things here. No, just let's stop buying each other gifts.
I agree.
Give me gifts I can re-gift, please. Give it to me.
Yeah.
Come to my house.
If I go to a destination wedding, forget getting a gift. It's the fact that I'm there as your...
arrived.
Anyway, let's not go down this track.
Don't open that can of worms.
There are a lot of people on the WhatsApp line who are horrified at Sia.
Yes.
Sia, you shocking, disgraceful, ungrateful human being. My wife and I have a rule: if you're going to buy something, buy people an experience, not a gift. Sia's coming out of the lockdown as the new Mbulelo. there's lots.
We have got decent listeners on this show, Sia, which is a damn sight more than we can say for you and your gifting.
There have been a couple of times based on the fact that I've Googled the price of a gift. I'm even more grateful for the gift and to the person, actually.
Because I'm like, wow, wild.
You spent a pretty penny on me. Thank you.
So you basically, that is just tacky and revolting. that you are impressed by the, you're impressed by the price.
That statement doesn't make you bitter. That no. statement doesn't
that
make
makes
you bitter.
Worse. Yeah. All right, we've got to get to the next hour. We're also going to be talking to a guy called Philip Hartman, who's the founder of Together for Cape Town. We'll find out what that is and what they do. All of that coming up next on cliffcentral.com. Stick around. Plenty of good stuff to keep you company this morning.
Cliffcentral.com.